They told me they didn't tell you to sit down. You guys just sit down on your own. You're good. You're good. I'm beginning a new series this morning. You kind of seen the title, heard a little music here. The title is Twisted. And what I'm going to challenge us with as we look at the message this morning, I want to understand with us this morning, is I believe there's a devil, and he has twisted our world all up. He has a message, and he has a behavior of twisting. And so we're going to kind of look at this through the next few weeks. But this morning, I kind of want to begin, this week, I was driving around, listening to the radio, and they were talking about the nastiest things that we touch, the dirtiest things. It was really surprising here with the number one, filthiest, germiest. I'm going to use that word germ. Germiest, is that a word? Germiest? The germiest thing. So anybody ever watch David Letterman? Anybody besides me? You know, David Letterman does this 10 thing, right? You know, here's the 10 most. Well, I got 10 things that are most germiest. Let's look at these up here. So we're going to kind of go 10 germiest places you're likely to encounter during an average day. Number 10, your bathtub. Your bathtub is full of germs, all right? What's number 9? Mats and machines at the health clubs. All right, be careful when you go to the health club. Number 8, playgrounds. You got to watch out at the playgrounds. Number 7, your handbag, all right? Now, just so you know, this has to be women. I do not believe in man bags, all right? There's no such thing as a man bag, okay? So that's really ladies. Number 6, ATM buttons. I would have never thought about that. ATM buttons are one of the germiest things you'll touch during the day. Number 5, shopping cart handles. That has moved to number 1. The shopping cart handle is the number 1 germiest thing you touch. I heard stores now are starting to put things you can wipe on there. What's number 4? Public drinking fountains. When you go out in the lobby out there, there's a drinking fountain. Be careful. All right, number 3, a load of wet laundry. I would have never thought about that one. And number 2, airplane bathrooms. I can see that one. Anybody been on an airplane? Know what I'm talking about? Number 1, grocery carts. That comes back up again. The nastiest things. You know what's interesting, though? In the 1800s, they believed these diseases and germs didn't exist. They believed in what was called spontaneous generation. That just things would just pop up on your skin just out of nothing. There was no cause, no reason. It would just show up. Diseases were just something that, well, they would say the providence of God, and it came from nowhere, and it just pops up. It just shows up. Well, then a guy named Louis Pasteur, anybody know the guy, you know, did some discoveries? He comes along and says, you know what? There's an invisible world out there. And in this invisible world, there's things that float around. And they'll land on your skin, and they'll land on your food, and that these things that float around are what brings these diseases. And he started putting out these ideas. And some of his friends started believing this, and so they started quarantining people, and they started doing things to kind of prevent diseases. And their other friends thought they were crazy. You know, there's no such thing as this invisible world out there and these germs out there, and they just couldn't see that. We call them germs and all that kind of stuff today, but they didn't believe in that stuff. You know, today, most of us believe there are germs. Anybody here not believe in germs? A lot of sickness going along right now. How many people carry something like this in their purse? Guys, in their pocket? Anybody got hand sanitizer? Anybody? I go out to restaurants with some friends of mine, and they'll pull the hand sanitizer out before they eat, you know, and wipe their hands off and pass the hand sanitizer around. Go into any classroom here at the school, and you'll see hand sanitizer on the wall. If you go into the lobby there, over by the water fountain, by the door to the snack bar area, there's a hand sanitizer. We all believe in this, especially nowadays with germs everywhere. You know, you go to the hospital, and I walk into the hospital, and there's a machine. Laura and I will wash our hands before we make a visit. You walk out from doing the visit, and you wash your hands. with these hand sanitizers. We're big on these hand sanitizers, and we have no problem believing there's this germ world out there. But the Bible says there's another invisible world out there. The Bible says there's an invisible world out there where the devil dwells. Now, I want to make sure as I talk about this morning, I do not think there's a devil around every corner, all right? Demons are everywhere. But I don't believe you turn around and they're just everywhere. I don't have this fear of these devils and demons and all of that. But I want to tell you, I believe there is an invisible world in which the devil and Satan and the demons work. I believe there is a world like that. I mean, all you got to do, how many of us, well, some of us could probably just look in a rearview mirror and look back over our lives and say, yeah, there's something there. How many of us have ever had an experience where you look back over your life and you go, what in the world was I thinking? Anybody? Why did I think that was a good idea? When did I ever feel that that relationship with her would ever work? Where was my head? Anybody go through things like that in their life? And you look back over the life, you got that rearview mirror and you're looking back, you know, and it's like, how could I ever think that financial decision was a wise decision? Where in the world was my head? Anybody ever go through things? You know, you look back over your life and you can just see these things. Maybe some of us don't even have to look back over our life. Maybe we just have to look at our situation today. Just look in a mirror today. Just look around and we see our life and we're sitting there going, what did I do now? Why did I do this? And we wonder what's going on. Or maybe we look around at some of our friends. Maybe somebody in our family. And you look at them and you look and you're seeing the decision they're making and you're seeing what they're doing in their lives and you're going, can't they see it? Don't they get it? Can't they see where that's going to go? Don't they understand what that decision implies? Don't they? And you ever see things like that and that just goes through your head and you're wondering, what in the world is wrong with them? Can't they see that? Don't they understand what they're doing? And we see all this happening in our lives around us. And what I want to propose today, and I want you to think about today, is this. That there's a devil out there that's just twisting things. He makes things sound good. He makes things sound right. He makes things look good. And we wonder why. We look back over our lives and it's like, what in the world? Where was my head? Why me? And we wonder, and have you ever had where you sat down and you figured out and you know you've made your decision, you've got it figured out, you know what you're going to do, you know how you're going to behave, and you go outside, and as soon as you walk out the door, you get with your friends and you do the thing you didn't want to do? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? You knew it, you prepared for it, but when you got out there, there's just this little twist. And see, what I want to propose to you as we look at this whole series of messages is that I believe there's an invisible world out there in which the devil works just to twist things, just to tweak things, just to confuse things, just to make us think a little different and approach a little different. And I believe the devil's out there working in our world. And so I want to propose to you this morning that there's this invisible world. Maybe you don't believe it. Maybe you think, well, there's this wacko preacher who believes in demons and devils. You know? And I do. And I believe he's out there affecting people. And this really helped this week as I was traveling around and praying with people and looking over situations to realize some of the decisions people are making is because the devil has just twisted it, that they think it's a good decision. Have you ever looked at somebody, they think it's a good decision, it's solid, it's really what's right, and then you make that decision, and a week down the road, a month down the road, you look back and go, what in the world made me think like that? What put that in my head? Why did I even start going down that way? And what I want to propose to you is there's a devil out there just twisting it just a little bit to confuse us, to lead us down that path. And Jesus encountered this several times, and I want to look at some of the encounters that Jesus had and some of the things that Jesus did so that we can help to deal with this in our lives. And there was a day when Jesus was, well, he had done lots of miracles. He had performed his miracles. He had taught many things. And many people were starting to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And people were starting to believe this. People were starting to buy into this. And many were starting to follow him. And so one day he runs into these religious leaders, the supposedly religious leaders of his day. And as he encounters them, and Jesus starting to get into the followers, they felt a little threatened. And I want you to look at the conversation Jesus has with these individuals. And maybe think about some of the conversations we have with ourselves as we approach our decisions. Look at what Jesus says here as we look at this passage. Jesus said to them, now them is the religious leaders. And again, you have a little outline in your worship folder. You want to pull it out, you can open it up and you can follow along there. If God were your father, you would love me, for I come from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? You've seen my miracles. You heard my teachings. Why don't you understand that I am the Son of the living God? Why don't you get the picture that I am the living Son of God? Because you are unable to hear what I say? Why is my language not clear? Because you are unable to hear? Are you deaf? Are they deaf? No, they're not deaf. You belong to your father, the devil. Now, to me, this is really an amazing statement. Jesus carried on a conversation with these guys. They're conversing about why they don't understand. And Jesus just gets right in their face to face, and says, your father's the devil. That's exactly what he says here. Your father's the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He's just the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Do you hear what Jesus is telling these guys? Here's these religious leaders, these supposedly spiritual leaders of their day. And Jesus is sitting there telling them, you think you're following God, but you are so deceived. You are so confused. You're not listening. You're not seeing what's right in front of your face. You are following the devil. See, there is this invisible world. Jesus believed there is a devil. All right? I want to tell you, I believe there is a devil, there is a Satan, there is a person, there is a personality, there is an entity, it is real, and there is a real devil, all right? Now, some of you are sitting there going, this is a crazy preacher, but I'm telling you, there is. Jesus believed it, all right? And he has a job. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. What Jesus is saying is real simple. He's saying, you're sitting there, and instead of listening to me, you have let your mind get confused. You have let your heart be deceived. This invisible world has infected you, and you're not listening to me. And how many of us could testify to these kind of things in our lives with somebody around us? That it looks good, it sounds good, we understand it, and we step out, and all of a sudden, it's like, where was my head? Why did I think this? What was I thinking in the beginning? What made me do it? I want to tell you, the devil is a deceiver. You know what's interesting? People will debate this. Do we want to call God a he or a she? You ever hear those? People want to debate. But you notice what's interesting? Nobody has a problem calling the devil a he all the time. Ain't a problem calling the devil a he. I mean, most of you ladies think men are evil anyway, right? Come on now. You know? We have no problem calling the devil a he, but man, we got to have God. We're not quite. You know, it's an entity that is real, and he has one job. Let me share two things with you real quick. He is a deceiver. That is all he can do. All right? He can't take your life. He can't kill you, but he can deceive you. All right? You need to understand that he is a deceiver. That's what he does. Go back to the Garden of Eden when Eve was there. Look at this fruit. Doesn't it look good? It would even taste good. Look at this. Isn't that nice and shiny? Come on, it would be good for you. You'd be smarter. You would be wiser. Isn't this nice? You know, he just deceiving. That's what Satan does. He just tweaks things. Just turns it just a little bit. He doesn't want to turn it too much because you know, this week I got out of the car and I walk around the car just so you know, I went to see the Disney Studios, okay? They wouldn't let me in. I went and asked the guy at the security gate if I could get in. You need to know that, okay? And they wouldn't let me in. But I get out of the car and I walk around the car and I step up on the sidewalk. Well, you know, they didn't have a curb like this. They had a curb like this. And I stepped up like this. You know, so I just crashed down to the ground. You know, I should have seen that big step. Most of us see those big steps, right? Most of us, you know, I can really fall from here. But it's those little cracks that gets us. See, that's how Satan works. You know, how many of us walk down the sidewalk and it's got a half inch crack? Anybody? You walk down the sidewalk and the next one's got just a, and you just stumble right over that half inch. See, that's what Satan does. We see the big step coming. We see those. Satan is, he's deceiving. He just tweaks it just a little bit. Just a little bit. You want to do an interesting, I'm going to give you some homework. This isn't even in the Bible. I'm going to have you read the Bible later, but this is some other homework. Take a little work. Go get a dictionary. Go get a dictionary and look up the definition, the early definition of family. Seriously. Go get a dictionary from the 1700s, the 1800s, the early 1900s. And look up a definition of family. And you'll find something along the lines of family. A man and a woman with offspring. That's what you'll find. Look up the dictionary today. Family. A group of individuals. Just twist it just a little bit. Just a little. It's just a group of individuals with a common interest under a common roof. See, that's what Satan does. He just a hair. Just it looks nice. It's shiny. It looks good. You know, it feels good. You know, you ever anybody say this? They made a decision. And maybe you did this, you've made a decision, you worked something out, and you go back and you look back and you're going, what in the world was that? And you go, it felt right. It felt good. It was just the best thing to do. And now you're sitting there going, what in the world? Look at where I'm at now. Because see, Satan just twists things. He's a deceiver. He can't take your life, but he can sure mess it up. He can sure just twist it enough. And we need to see that and we need to understand it. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Here's these guys. They thought they had it all worked out. You know, we're from Moses. We trust Moses and we trust Abraham and we're his descendants. Abraham's our father and Moses is our teacher. And who are you and who do you think you are? And Satan has just twisted all of that up. Twisted up those 10 commandments that we see in the Old Testament, and now we got 613 of them. Yeah. It matters how you wash your hands and how you walk and how far you can walk on a Sunday or a Saturday for them on the Sabbath. And Satan just keeps twisting things over and over. See, Satan has this power. Do not think Satan does not have power. He's limited, okay? I want to make sure you understand. He's limited. He can't take your life. He can't touch your life. But he can sure mess up your mind. He can sure mess up your life. He can sure tweak your heart. Because that's who he is. And that's the power he has. Think of the devil as a deceiver. And that's what he does. And Jesus encountered him over and over again. I want you to look at this next verse with me. Jesus, just to kind of give you an idea, Jesus... In John chapter 14, the whole chapter, in John 14, Jesus is kind of telling his disciples, they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back. And he's kind of getting them ready for his departure. He's telling them about the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's just kind of getting them ready for all of this. And then he has this to say, you heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. He said, I'm preparing you for me to die, all right? I'm getting you ready. I'm going to die pretty soon. I've been with you for 3 years. I've done the miracles. You've seen it. I'm going to die pretty soon. You need to understand this is part of God's plan, is what he's telling them. It's part of God's plan for me to die on the cross for the remissions of sin, that you can find forgiveness. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world, the prince of this world, just so you know, for the devil, is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. He's saying, you need to understand, I'm with you now. I've provided some protection. I've taught you. I've done miracles. That when I leave, the devil's going to get real busy. All right? The devil's going to get real busy. He's a prince. He has authority. He has power. He can be about his business. I want to tell you again. I want to make sure you understand this. The devil does not need to sleep, okay? The devil doesn't need a nap. Last night you went to bed. The devil did not go to bed. We're going to look at some scripture in a little while because I want you to know he made plans for your life today. He's already started figuring out, okay, this is where they're going to go. This is what they're going to do. This is what I can do. This is how I can twist this. This is how I can fix this. And the devil is making plans for all of our lives. We're going to get down there in a few minutes and look at some other scripture on this. But I want you to know another thing about the devil. The devil doesn't know your future. All right? The devil doesn't know. God knows the future. Remember, I preached a sermon about God being all-knowing, right? You've heard the message. If you haven't heard mine, you've heard somebody else, I'm sure. God is all-knowing. God knows our future. But I want you to know the devil does not know the future. If the devil had known the future, I don't think he would have nailed Jesus to the cross. Because the devil thought he won. Jesus died on that cross, gave his life on that cross, stabbed in the side, thorns on his head, dies on the cross. We're going to celebrate that on Easter. He died on the cross. And the devil's sitting down there, yeah, I won. That's one for me. It's my victory. I tuck out the Son of God. And all of a sudden, you hear some trumpets sounding, and all of a sudden, the stone starts rolling away, and Jesus comes walking out. The devil lost. He didn't know he was going to lose. He didn't know Jesus would come forth from the grave. He had no idea. We need to understand the devil doesn't know your future, but he wants to take your future away from you. See, we need to understand that. He wants to deceive that so our future gets twisted. That the plans that God has to prosper us and do good for us gets twisted. And that's what Satan wants to do. He's real. He's that prince. He's got power. He's got authority. He's a deceiver. He's out there. It sounds good. It looks good. It tastes good. It seems good. It seems right. And we go down that path and then we look in the rearview mirror going, ah, why? Why? And the reason is real simple. There's an invisible world out there with the devil who's just twisting a little bit. He just tweaks it a little bit. Just changes it just a little bit. One word here. One thought here. One thing here. And all of a sudden, everything's messed up. See, that's what the devil does. He's out doing that. He tried this with Jesus. He came to Jesus. Jesus was baptized. And I encourage you, you can read the scriptures in the gospel. And Jesus was baptized. And God comes down. The Holy Spirit, it's all involved. And in the experience. And then after he got done getting baptized, he goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he has a fast. Spends time with God for 40 days. At the end of those 40 days, the devil shows up. That invisible world appears. Comes into the presence of Jesus. That invisible world shows up. And the devil starts to tempt him. Yeah, you've been out here 40 years. I'm sure you're hungry. Why don't you eat? Tries to tempt him to challenge God. And I just gave one of them. I just want you to read this one with me. This is one of those temptings that Satan did. The devil led him to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. And I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours. I want you to see what he's saying here. The devil has authority. It's limited, but he has it. He has authority to tweak things. He can polish that thing up and make it look really nice. He can make it sound really good. He has the authority to tweak it, to fix it, to make it appear. So, man, hey, man, that's the best, man. Isn't that good? It would make me wiser. It would make me smarter. It would make me wealthier. Look at that, man. That is awesome. He has that authority. He has that power to do those things. Don't be deceived and not think the devil has a power and authority. But all he can do is deceive. That's it. He just tweaks it a little. He doesn't want you to know he's there. He doesn't want you to know he's out there. You know, for me, as I worked on this message, what became a reality for me is this. You know what? I see this so prevalent today. You know, I was doing some reading on prison and rehabilitation in prisons and all this, and it is absolutely astonishing to me. All the studies have proven that if you want to bring down the recidivity rate going back to jail after they get released from prison, and it's not a matter of going to prison and get rehabilitated. You know the only rehabilitation that works is rehabilitation with God. Some way, some form, God has to be involved. But our society says, well, we have to have separation. Let's just twist it a little bit. We have to separate church from the state. We'll just twist it a little bit. It sounds good. Separation of church and state sounds good. But when a prisoner goes through a God program where God changes their life, the recidivity rate goes way down drastically. But see, Satan has just twisted things. Our society, well, we can't have this because it gets God involved, and you can't do this. See, we need to understand it's people's minds are deceived. It's tweaked. But it's easy. You know what? I don't know about you, but this is for me. It is so easy for me to see how Satan has deceived somebody else than to see how Satan has deceived me. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? I can see it coming for somebody else. Man, I can see, if they just keep going that way, it's not going to take long. But when it comes to me, oh, I'm okay. I got it all under control. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's easy to see it in somebody else. It's easy to watch them get deceived. But I'm going to tell you what, it's easy to miss it in us and just not see it. Just this once, it's not going to hurt anything. Just this once. It doesn't bother anybody else. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It doesn't affect anybody else. It's just me. And so I can do this because it only involves me. Isn't that a deception from Satan? Yeah. He just tweaks things. He just twists things. He just wants to confuse us. So I want to ask you this. What does all this mean? What does this mean? I mean, I look into the world and I see decisions people are making. And what this helped me do this week, so you understand for me, it helped me understand not to get mad at individuals. Not to get upset with the individual. Because they've been deceived. It's kind of like that Flip Wilson guy. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? Anybody? Come on. Guy named Flip Wilson, a comedian. The devil made me do it. That is true. Now, you can't blame him because you did the decision. You allowed it. You conceded to it. But the devil made me do it. And the more I look at that, when I see somebody say, I'm making the right decision, and I see relationships destroyed. I see marriages messed up. I see families torn apart. And I see this going on, and I watch this stuff happen. But when you step back and you realize they really think they're doing what's right. They really believe in their heart. They really believe in their head that that's the right decision. What's the problem? The problem's not them. The problem is Satan has deceived them. And I've often wondered, how do we help somebody? How do we tell somebody, oh, you're deceived? Make them sound like an idiot. You know, how do we deal with that? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not really sure yet. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But it's like I can see it in their lives, but I'm not sure. So what does all this mean? Paul was writing the church in Ephesus. He was teaching them about life. He taught them about their family. He taught them about marriage. He taught them about kids. He's just kind of explaining, how do you live this Christian life? How does it live out in this world today? And how can I be that person that is different than the rest of the world and be a child of God? And in the book of Ephesians, he's writing all this stuff down. And he's teaching this church in Ephesus. Then he comes to that last chapter. It's chapter 6 of Ephesus. And that's what I want you to read. This is your homework for the week. Go home and read Ephesians chapter 6. Kind of in the middle of the in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at a big portion of it right now, but you need to go home and read the whole thing and see what God has to say. You really want to do something good, read the whole book of Ephesians. Half hour, 35 minutes, you should be able to read it. It's just 6 chapters. And he's just trying to deal with life. And look what he says here as we look at this Ephesians chapter 6. What does all this mean? Let's see. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Okay? I want you to know, Jesus believed in the devil. Jesus believed in this invisible world out there. Paul believes in this invisible world too. That there's this invisible world out there, and there's a devil in this invisible world, and he has some schemes. I gave you, if you look at your outline there, I gave you a definition of that Greek word there. You can see it comes from like the word method. It means wily, lie in wait, cunning arts, deceit, crafty, or trickery. To treat methodically, to handle according to a plan, to handle craftily. He's saying, listen, you need to put this armor of God on. Now, some of you have read about the armor. And I'm not going to read all those verses. I want you to read them on your own. But he wants you to put all this armor, because the devil has some schemes. The devil's a scheming individual. He's planning. He's working out the details. You know, I feel, here's the image I have for me. You know, he stayed up all night working out the details for Gary's life. All right? I wanted a sound clip for my video this morning when it starts out, that gong, gong. Had it all worked out, had it all figured out. Played it on the machine, it didn't work right. Arr! I don't have time now. I got other things to do. Lord, you got to get here early so I can go home, see if I can fix this thing. I go home, plays great on my computer at home. I come down here, it doesn't work. Found out the problem wasn't the software. The problem was the stereo cable was a mono cable, and I needed a stereo cable. The devil planned to aggravate me this morning. He could have won. I could have got mad, and I do have a temper, and, you know, threw my Bible and everything because it's just not working right. I wouldn't throw the computer. Yeah. But the devil plans things. Am I right? Come on. You're going to tell me you get up in the morning and the devil hasn't got a plan to get you ticked off in the morning. Coffee pot didn't come on. It don't work. Now I don't get my coffee. Car don't start. The devil's out there just tweaking these things. He's planned all night. Now, I solved that problem, and I didn't lose my Christianity yet. Yeah. But the day's just getting started. He's got something else coming up. Just to tweak it a little bit. Just to turn it a little bit. Just to push my button. Yeah. We need to see that the devil has these schemes. He's working at it. He's working on it. I want to tell you, Satan is working on you. But the only thing he can do is scheme and deceive. You need to understand that when you're looking at life, you need to be watching out for the deception of life. I'm not worried about my life dying. I'm not worried about dying someday. It's going to happen. That's the reality. Someday I will pass from this world to the next. I just want you to know something. When I leave here, I'm not really dead. You need to know that. You know, when I leave here, I'm not really dead. I'm alive. I'm just not here, okay? That's what I want to make sure you understand. You know, so don't feel too bad for me. I'll be praying for you up there and watching you down here if that's what God lets me do. I'm not worried about dying. What I got to worry about is those little tweaks Satan wants to do. Those little things, Satan, that marriage thing that God, he just wants to work on. You know, just to agitate that marriage, just to aggravate that marriage. You know, she was crazy when I married her. What was I thinking? Come on. You know, Satan just wants to tweak things and turn things. He wants to confuse us. He's scheming. We need to see that. You need to understand that there's an invisible world that Satan is involved in. And we need to see those, and we need to see that and understand that. And Paul believed that. He goes on in this and he talks about the armor of God. And I'm not going to read all that, but I want you to be able to read that on your own and to see that on your own. But you need to see it. But he's not the only one. I want you to look at what Peter has to say. We're going to skip through these verses. Let's go down to the next one. Let's go to Peter. There's schemes. Let's go on down to Peter. This is Peter. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil. Does Peter believe in the devil? Does Peter believe there's an invisible world out there? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You're not alone in this. That's what he said there. Peter's saying, listen, the devil's out there. He's going to tweak. He's going to turn. He's going to twist. He's going to confuse. He's going to mess your mind up. He's out there to do all that, but you're not alone. You got others with you. Hang in there. The devil is roaming around. And again, I want to tell you, I don't look around every corner. Man, there's a demon around every corner. Be careful. That's not how I'm going to live my life. But I do believe there is a world out there that's invisible that we can't see. Just like that germ world is out there. There's an invisible world out there. And that devil is in that world looking to tweak, to turn, to twist, to confuse. Just to get us to think differently. That marriage, you know, she wasn't the right one in the beginning. That relationship, you know, that brother, that sister, that mother, that father, they're just a little weird. Don't listen to them. They're old people. You know? They don't know what they're talking about. See, we've learned. We know more than them. You know? And the devil just keeps twisting things like that. Manipulating things like that. See, Peter believed it. Peter did. Paul did. So I put it this way. I believe in the invisible world of the devil. I do. I believe there is an invisible world that the devil works in. Now, I want to make sure as I talk about this, I do not believe in ghosts, okay? There are no such thing as ghosts. The Bible says, absent from the body is present with the Lord, or the other place. Let's call it hell. Just let's be truth. You got one choice. Either you're here or you're there. There's no floating around in this world. Oh, I'm a ghost. You know, there's none of that. All right? There's no such thing as ghosts. But I'm going to tell you what. I believe the devil can make things look in your mind and create things in your heart and create things in your thoughts. I believe that. I absolutely believe, you know, he can make these auroras. I get so aggravated. I like the History Channel. There's not much on TV I enjoy, but I enjoy the History Channel. And they have these ghost hunters and things. That's not history. That's stupidity. You know, paranormal. You know, we're going out. We got these machines, and we're looking for ghosts. The best thing is Ghostbusters. I like that movie, though. You know? I don't believe in that, but I believe there's an invisible world out there, and it's not ghosts that we have to worry about. I don't believe in haunted houses. I don't believe in any of that trash. But I believe there's an invisible world out there that the devil works in so that he can work on us. Just tweaking. Just twisting. Just confusing. And then we look back over our lives and wonder, what in the world? And what he wants is real sin. What we need to understand, all that tweaking and twisting and all that stuff going on is for one single purpose. Look at the scripture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only purpose. His purpose isn't to make you prosper. His purpose isn't to make good things happen in your life. His purpose isn't to give you some great things. His purpose is to destroy you, to hurt you. We need to see that you know, the shortcuts in life that he'll put out there, just this one little, you know, we have these fancy words for lying. I didn't lie, I just stretched the truth. I didn't lie, it's only a white lie. I didn't lie, I just didn't tell the whole truth. Don't we have words like that? Just twist it just a little bit. And this is what the devil's up to. He's out there and he wants to steal, kill. Here's what I've come to the conclusion at for my life. When I run into situations, I run into circumstances, if it wants to do one of these three things, I know it's of the devil. Makes it simple. If he wants to destroy, if something wants to go on and hurt my marriage and destroy my marriage, whether it's in my thoughts, my heart, my ideas, something like that wants to do that in my marriage, I know it's coming from the devil. If somebody wants to destroy my relationship with somebody else, it's coming from the devil. If something wants me to take a shortcut to get ahead and to lie, to cheat, to deceive, to get ahead, it's coming from the devil. See, to me, it makes it really easy. So the last statement I put in here is I believe the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Flat out. I believe there's a world, and I believe there's that invisible world out there, and he has one purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. He has one way to do it. Write this word down somewhere on these notes. Write this word deceive down, because that's his tool. His greatest tool in your life is deceiving. You'll look at things in your life, and you say, that sounds good. You'll look at things in your life and you say, that makes sense. You look at things in your life and you'll say, that feels good. You'll look at things in your life thinking, that's going to work out well. And then you make that decision and you go, what in the world was I thinking? That's the devil. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy. We need to understand. He's just tweaking just a little. He doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want the world to know. I sit back and I look at some of the decisions and we're redefining defining marriage and now they're not going to protect the law. And I have a hard time when the president says he's not going to enforce the laws. I don't know. That's something I just find very confusing. I thought that's his job. But here we have these laws and now we're going to just change the law just a little bit. Just a hair. Look up the definition of family. Look back in the 1800s and see what it said. And then look at today's dictionary and see what it says. Just look it up. Just twist it a little bit. Just one word, two words. See, Satan is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to hurt our lives. He wants to destroy our hearts. And we need to see that in our lives and to feel that. He takes things that are good. Anybody here got an appetite? I am looking forward to a hamburger later today. I'm going to have a hamburger later today. We're going to have that fun. I'm going to go get it. I got an appetite. You know, appetites are good. But you know, Satan can take that appetite and just tweak it just a little bit, just a hair, and that appetite becomes an addiction. Can't he? That appetite. He can take our desires. You know, those wants, those desires. There's nothing wrong with desires. To desire something new, something bigger. There's nothing wrong with that. But he can tweak that desire and it becomes greed. He can take our things that are appealing. It looks good. It looks nice. And just tweak it just a little bit. There's nothing wrong with things that look that's appealing. But he can just tweak it just a little bit. And now we got jealousy. You see what Satan does? Just those little things. It sounds good. I'm making the right decision. I'm doing the right thing. And it's so easy to see it in somebody else's life, but it's hard to see it in others. And so here's what I want to say. How are we going to deal with this? What are you going to do? You got that whole passage on the armor of God. Go read that. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. That's your homework. Go home and read that. But I just want to give you one single verse and one single thought as you think about how you're going to deal with the devil's deceptions and the devil's work. Look what the scripture says here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, that makes sense to me. That looks good to me. I figured this all out now. I've got my life all figured out now. I've got it all worked out now. I've got it everything. I understand it now. Here's what I want to tell you. Don't put everything on your own understanding. I want to make it real simple. When you get questions about life, questions about decisions, questions about that little tweaking, that little confusion, pick up one book, the Bible. What does the Bible say about it? Whatever decision, whatever thing that's been tweaked, whatever thing that's been turned, Just what does God's word say? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about relationships? What does God say about behavior? What does God say about lying? What does God say about stealing? What does God say about murder? Instead of trying to figure it out in our own head, instead of trying to figure things out that Satan can twist and Satan can turn, that if you read God's word, it's truth without mixture of error. And so that's what I want to propose to you. There is an invisible world out there in which Satan works to destroy, kill, and mess up your life. It's real. There is a real entity, person, the devil. He is real. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he stayed up all night to do it. And he's going to stay up all throughout your life. He's going to mess up your understanding. He's going to tweak it. He's going to twist it. He's going to confuse it. He's just going to make it look good, look sound good, feel good. And you're going to think, hey, that just makes sense. I want to ask you to take all your decisions back to the Word. Just what does God have to say? Because he can twist man's mind. He can twist our thoughts. But he can't change God's Word. It hasn't changed for years. Matter of fact, the Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to propose to you this morning that this is the truth. That whenever you have an issue, whenever Satan tweaks something, twists something, it's okay. Sex before marriage is no big deal. Everybody else is doing it. That's okay. You know? Let's just redefine marriage. Let's just redefine sex. Let's just redefine greed. Let's just redefine the American dream. Let's just tweak things. What does God's word say? That's what I want to leave you with this morning. I want to leave you with the reality. There's an invisible world. I believe it. Jesus did. Paul did. Peter did. I do. I don't know what you believe, but I believe there's an invisible world. And I believe the devil's out there scheming on us right now. You're in here. He's waiting for you to walk through those doors. If you don't watch it, just so you understand, he could get you before you even get out of the place. You can get mad at somebody even before you walk out of this place. Somebody can push your button. Somebody can tweak your thoughts. Before you even walk out that door, you can get ticked off. You know, that's just the reality of Satan. He's there. Still kill and destroy. But what does God's word say? I want to challenge you to dwell in his word, to lean not on your own understanding, but to lean on the Lord. I put it real simple at the bottom of your page. It says this. I trust in God's way. That's it. I'm not going to trust my understanding. I'm not going to trust when I figure things out. I'm not going to trust when I understand and I got it all worked out. It all looks good. I got it all on paper. I've heard people say, put down all the pros and all the cons and do all that kind of stuff. I don't trust any of that. You know who I trust? I just trust God. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to ask you, who do you trust today? What are you trusting in today? Are you letting the devil steal, kill, and destroy you? To steal your peace, kill your joy, and destroy your life? Because he will. He's real. And he's working. Let's pray.